Matthew chapter 7. We'll continue with the Sermon on the Mountain, of course, and is a long sermon. It was one of the greatest sermons Jesus ever preached. And there's quite a bit of topics in this sermon. We're almost done with that. And we'll go all the way to verse 21 to verse 23. And it is a great passage, a sobering passage of Scripture right here. And let's see what the Lord has to say, the Lord Jesus has to say here about this passage. Look at verse 21. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I will never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this indeed is a very sobering passage of Scripture. Very sobering words that came out of your mouth. And Lord, help us to even check ourselves if we are in the faith. Lord, help us Lord, if there's someone here that has doubt about salvation, to take that seriously. Lord, and one day we all going to depart out of this world unless you come first, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we know for sure that we are saved. We know for sure that we have you as our Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, for that this morning. Help me to preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the title of the message this morning is Self-Deception. Self-Deception. I tell you what. I thought about this, and this is one of those hard messages. I mean, preach about hell or preach about this type of message is a hard message to preach. Because, first of all, you don't want to offend anyone, but you want to bring the reality of what life is about. Okay, so self-deception. Can you imagine you being sitting in a Bible-believing church all your life? Can you imagine, and in the end of your life, you hear those words from the mouth of Jesus, depart from me, I never knew you. And a question mark's there, but Lord, I did this for you, I did this for you, I did this for you. Don't you remember? Actually, if you look at the passage, it is question marks there. They're questioning God. It's in, and look what it says in verse 22, and it says, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? He's asking actually the questioning God. And the second one, that said, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. So it's three questions right here. They're asking God, I did all this in your name, and why am I not even, you don't even recognize me as one of your own? Very sobering passage of Scripture. I mean, we have to check, am I saved? Am I a Christian? Or am I just going through the motions and I'm just religious? So we have to really question ourselves. I mean, I'm not trying to preach today and make you lost this morning. Oh, don't misunderstand me here. But it's good to check. Am I saved? Am I a child of God? Or am I just plain religion here? So it's very sobering passage of Scripture right here. So self-deception is very predominant in our world. And it is a dangerous thing to do in a very dangerous place to be. Some people are deceived by others, and some people have deceived themselves. I remember years ago, we have First Baptist, which does not exist anymore, but it was a man that had been there for 20 years in the church. 20 years. And him and his family. And in the end, of course, the pastor gave an invitation in the end if somebody were not saved. And this man came forward, and the assistant pastor was there, and he comes, and he was in the altar, because it was a bunch of stairs. We only have one here, but it was a bunch of stairs. And he bowed down, and he was there, and the assistant pastor came to him and started talking to him. Of course, I knew this because we were talked about that after. But he said to him, some brother, you come to pray. Can I pray with you? He goes, oh, no. I just realized I'm not saved. He said, it took me 20 years to realize if I die today, I'm not going to heaven. He checked himself. He realized he was just religious. And I would never doubt that a man was not saved. That man, I mean, he knew his Bible. He knew how to talk about God. He dressed right. He talked right. He walked right. He looked like a Christian, but he was not one. And he had to check himself and realize, I'm not saved. The pastor sat on the assistant pastor and said, I was shocked. I never had that type of an experience. Somebody that I knew, and he was much older than him. So, we have to be careful of the dangers of self-deception or others deceiving us. So folks, there are many people in our world who suffer from self-deception. Their mind is so deceived that even if they hear the truth of the Word of God, read the Word of God, still don't see and get it. You see, that is a dangerous place to be. There are far so many people who suffer, like I said, from self-deception. They were misled by others who they trust completely and never take the time to look at the Scriptures for what the Scripture says and just kind of brush it off and don't really think it. So let me dig into this thing. Let me try to understand this thing. I tell you what. There was one man in our church that came to me and he said to me, so how did you get saved? How you do this? Well, I took him to Romans chapter 10. I said, can you read this? Right in the top of this pulpit, I opened the Bible and I said, can you read it? And he read the whole chapter. And he looks at me and he said, that's it? I said, that's it. He got it. He called upon the Lord to save him. Amen. It was Robert. It was a blessing. See, sometimes, you know, you have to read and let it sink in and say, oh. Listen, if we hear people talk about the Word of God and talk about the Bible and we never check for ourselves, how do you know that person was telling the truth? You got to check for yourself. So I mentioned 2 weeks ago that the greatest danger we face is not the changing world around us on which we can only affect the outward part of us. Personal finances can change, but that only rises our lowers or our standards of living, of course. The decline of society, of social morality, may take you more difficult to live a holy life, but it cannot change who you really are. So political decline can change, but that will not only increase or decrease, of course, but we were talking about the inner part of the man or inner part of the heart. So, right here we're looking at this danger of self-deception. Again, you can allow people to deceive you, or you can deceive yourself. When people say, my Jesus would never do that, my Jesus would never say that, and you, if somebody hear you and say, what in the world the Bible talks about that? Let's see what God has to say. Some people deceive themselves. They create a Jesus that only exists in their own mind. They deceive themselves. My Jesus is a Jesus of love. Oh, my Jesus will never judge. Really? You deceived yourself already. Because God is a God of love. Absolutely true. But God is a God of justice as well. Listen, we justify sin every day in our world. What do you think God does? You think God going to allow the sin into heaven? Oh, people live into all these things. Oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's all love. I mean, we all talk about all these love, this love today. But we forgot something. God is a God of justice. Amen. And God doesn't allow any sin into His heaven. So we have to be careful with that because what we do, we deceive ourselves. My Jesus would never do that. My Jesus would... What Jesus is that? Listen, this morning there are a lot of people preaching about Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible. Amen. There's many places they're called churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the churches of this world. They are deceived, and they're deceiving others. I'm not saying that every church, only this church is right and every church is wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we have to filter them through the Word of God and see if they're telling the truth. Amen. Otherwise, they will deceive you. They will deceive you. Here's one thing that I learned when I was in Bible college. Context, 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 context. What does that mean? It means when you prepare a message, you have to preach the message within context of what the Bible says. Otherwise, you're not preaching the Bible. You're not preaching the Word of God. You just give them whatever came to your mind. It got to be context. The Bible answers its own self. Listen, there's nothing in the Bible that we say, oh, it's an error or contradicts itself. No, the Word of God is true. When we say it is an error, you know what happens is we are deceiving ourselves because the Bible, the Word of God is true. It is true. Isn't Jesus say thy word is truth? If Jesus said thy word is truth, it's because it is truth. So, let's look at this from several points this morning about self-deception. Number one, Jesus' warning of self-deception. So, Jesus here gives you and I a warning. Look what it says. Now, everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. So, God gives the human race a warning about not everyone that calls on my name or talks about my name will go to heaven. Now, by the way, heaven is a place. I want you to just to understand this morning, heaven is a place because heaven is God's dwelling place. It's not just something that sounds good. It is a place like hell is a place. It is a place where people go after they depart from this world. I say, well, I have a long way to live. Have when I get old and gray, I think about these things. I'll tell you what, when I was 10 years old, my best friend died of brain cancer.
That's right.
When I was 17, my best friend died in a car crash. When I was 21, my best friend died on 95. Death comes to anybody.
That's right.
That's the reality. So Jesus' warning on self-deception. Let me tell you, be careful that you not deceive yourself or let others deceive you. Can a Christian get deceived? Yes, you can get deceived. You can get deceived into learn wrong doctrines. You need to be careful. So letter A is warning of false prophets. From verse 15 to verse 20, in Matthew 7, of course, Jesus warns about the danger, we talked about that last week, of our false prophets that lead many astray. There are many denominations in our present age on which lead people astray. Want me to name them? I'm going to name them to you. I name it to you. There's many denominations that evoke the name of Jesus, but they are false prophets. They're not teaching the Word of God. You got to proclaim the Word of God, the Bible. Listen, it's a wonderful book. It's an encyclopedia. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. 1,500 years to be completed, or around those ages. Many authors, laymen, kings, all kinds of people. You know what? And you look at it, there's no errors. You know why? Because God was the dictator. God says, write it down. When people say to me, man wrote the Bible, I say, no, God did. And it goes, I tell you what, and I say this again. Many, man wrote the Bible. No, God wrote the Bible. No, man, they get all out of shape. And I keep going, no, God wrote the Bible. And you just keep your tone down. God wrote the Bible. Let it sink in their minds that God is the one who is the author of the Bible. So, as warning on false prophets. Folks, false prophets has been since the beginning of time, and they keep going, and they're in our day. How do you know, how do you find false prophets? You need to be a student of God's Word. You need to know what your Bible talks about. You need to know what the passage is about. Again, context. When somebody can grab a verse out of the Bible and make a message and twist the whole verse. Make it say something that is not. There's many passages in the Bible that can be done that way. Many people do it. So how you know they're not in context, you need to be a student of God's Word. Listen, I don't live with you. All right? I don't live with you, you don't live with me. But God knows if you study God's Word.
Yep.
He knows if you're a student of His Word. We Christians, we should know our Bibles.
Amen.
More than anybody else.
Yep.
It amazes me how people know sports, and basketball, whatever sport is, and when there's no statistics, they know the players, they know everything. I'm like, wow, you're an encyclopedia. Oh my goodness. How could we don't know that about our Bible?
Amen.
So we need to know that so we can detect those false prophets. Look what it says in 1 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in demand of heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So we have to understand here, you can be a Christian, be saved, and somebody come along with a false doctrine and drag you right away with them. No, we need to be careful. Jesus warns us to be aware of false prophets right here. Examine their fruit. How you find them? Examine their fruit. You won't know them by their fruit, the Bible says. You won't know them by their living, by the way they behave, by the way their fruit that they bring out. You won't know them. That's the number one. Secondly, examine their righteousness. We must keep in mind that through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was been presenting the nature of true righteousness. If you read from Matthew 5 to Matthew 7, it's about righteous living. It's about for Christianity, how Christianity should be lived. Folks, I think in America, many Christians are in a state of apathy.
That's right.
We live for the world, we don't live for God. But we say we live for God. I tell you what, we need to live in a way that glorifies God, not glorify man. So you examine their fruit, examine their righteousness. And Jesus, of course, was very hard on the Pharisees and Sadducees of that time. And God pointed to them, calling them hypocrites. He calling them vipers and serpents. He called them all kinds of names. You know why? Because they were self-righteous. Some people are just self-righteous. They don't have the righteousness of God in them. They're self-righteous. So the self-righteous are now marked. Are now marked by these qualities here. So the righteous also approaches the commandments of God with the desire to obey them from the heart. So if we try to live a righteous living, we strive to live what God says in His Word. Look what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Is that black and white? Point blank. Jesus, listen, you know why? Because our love, it's demonstrated by our actions. If I say I love, I will demonstrate it to you that I love. If I say love, I love you with my lips, that's just lip talking. But Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep what I'm saying to you, what I'm commanding you to do. So God, if we look at the Sermon on the Mount, there's many things that God instructs us to do. The question is, how are you doing it? Listen, I have a series I'm going to start on practical Christian living. Go back to basics. How we should live as Christians. I'll tell you what. The self-righteous approaches God's commands like defense attorneys looking for loopholes. That's a self-righteous. The true righteous do all of their religious activity to gain something. But the self-righteous are more concerned about the self-righteous are more concerned that other people think of them in a pious way. Look, oh, look at that. Oh, look what they're doing. That's self-righteous people. So, but God is talking here about being righteous living. And we should be that kind of people. So be careful about false prophets. Be careful about false teachers. Folks, not everyone that you hear on TV is preaching the Word of God. Oh, but they're talking about Jesus. Well, again, it's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's the Jesus that they have in their minds. Jesus actually said, when the blind leads the blind, both fall in the same pit. So if they're already deceived, they're deceiving you, they're going to the hole, and you know what? You're going right with them. You just follow right along. Oh, where are you going in that hole? Okay. Is that deep enough? Oh, okay. And then you don't even think about it. Oh, that's the way many people are living. So we have to fill. Listen, I said this morning, I'm not going to the radio station. Most of you know. This morning, I just wanted a word from the Lord. I was just thirst about something. I know I was going to preach this message, but sometimes a pastor needs something from God as well. And I wanted something. So I turned the radio and said, the Lord's going to give me something. I need something. I was just hunger for something. I drove from my house to here. I didn't hear anything. You know what? I couldn't believe that that radio station, supposed to be a Christian radio station, and then what they were having there. I was like, I cannot believe this. You know why? Because we began to filter them through the Word of God, and you know if they're telling the truth. But somebody turns that on, if you're not a student of God's Word. Listen, the pastor shouldn't be the only student of God's Word.
Amen.
Should be all of us. All right? Should be all of us. But I mean, I said, when you listen to these people, and if you're a student of God's Word, you go, all right, you're not preaching the Bible. You're not telling me, you're just giving me ideas here. So number one, we say, Jesus' warning of self-deception. Number two, Jesus' warning of self-deceived, of the self-deceived. Now look what it says. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say that day. And of course, the question marks that Jesus has put here about those people. Can you even begin to contemplate the horror that people will suffer when they hear these words from the mouth of the Creator? To have lived your life thinking that you were truly serving God, but you were not. Can you imagine that? It is not just the horror of a thought that is terrifying, but the fact that there will many well-mean people will fall into that. Can you imagine that life is over, you're dead, you're gone, and you're in the presence of God, and God says, depart from me. I never knew you. And of course, there's no coming back. Letter A, you see, sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful in itself, but self-righteous is the most deceptive of all sin because it gives you the illusion that you are doing what is right, true, and good before God, yet the whole time you are an abomination to Him, so to speak. But let me tell you, Jesus is not talking here about those folks out there that are destroying their lives. He's talking to people that are listening to Him. He's talking to religious people here. He's talking to people that are supposed to know the Word of God. He's talking to religious folks, so to speak. Sin is deceitful. Considering the scribes and the Pharisees, we have spoken often against them, but by most standards, they were good people. By most standards, they were good people. Look what they were doing. They were kind to other Israelites. They were kind people. They taught their children about God and the law of Moses. They were often generous to the poor. They followed all the moral rules of society. And they were zealous for God. Even the Apostle Paul, when he was persecuting the church, he thought he was doing God a favor. In his own mind, he thought he was doing right. He was genuine in what he was doing until Jesus appeared to him. So, you know, we have to be careful because we deceive ourselves. And these people were. Then Jesus said to them, about who he was and tried to say to them and they pushed him aside. Then Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, go and search the scriptures. They did not. Don't you think that the statement goes to all of us? We should search the scriptures as well. My question to you is, do you search the scriptures? Do you read your Bible? Do you take time each morning or each day, whatever part of the day, and read your Bible? Not just read it, but be a student. And not a B student, but an A student. Not an A student, but an A plus student. That means you want to know. You want to know about your God. You want to know the God that you worship. You want to know about Him. Listen, if I'm going to worship God, I want to know who He is. I want to know about Him, His qualities, about what He has for me, His promises, all these things. I want to know. Because then when I worship, I know who I am worshiping. See, the Pharisees have all these good qualities. You know what? Many people who are bent or deceive themselves or self-deception. Let me tell you, some of these people are good people. But let me tell you, listen, I want you to understand this morning, this is a challenge to all of us, including me. Am I saved? Am I a child of God? Am I a Christian? I'm going to hear the words when I get to heaven someday, when I get there, and welcome home, you good and faithful servant. Or I'm going to hear the other words. Listen, I don't. The only thing I can see is people. I cannot see inside of your heart. God does, not me. But I can warn you about these passages of Scripture, what God says. So we have to challenge ourselves. So number one here in our passage, the Jesus warning on self-deception. Number two, the warning of self-deceived. Number three, Jesus warning of their false claim of a relationship. Look what it says there. And they said, Lord, Lord. So the word Lord could be used as a simple term of respect. But the double usage of it suggests much more than, and also in the case of it, they claim to have prophesied, cast out demons, and performed miracles in the name of Jesus. All these demonstrate that they acknowledge Jesus as Lord. In a sense of the common Jewish substitute for Jehovah or Yahweh or the name of God. So the name of God was considered to be too holy for human lips to utter those days. So the practical or the practice that was that when they encounter His name, they would say the word Lord rather than God's name, Yahweh or Jehovah. These people understood and acknowledged that Jesus is God. There are people that would have made professions of faith in Christ. Let me tell you. Just because we say Jesus, Jesus, and Lord, Lord, or acknowledge that God exists, does not make you a Christian. We have to understand that. Just because we do those, it doesn't make you a Christian. Keep in mind that the objective Jesus used here in Matthew, the adjective, I'm sorry, that Jesus used here in Matthew 7:22, there will be many that will not. He's not saying, Jesus said right here, many people will not, not just a few, many will not see the kingdom of heaven. You might feel more at ease if Jesus was walking about people that were negligent or people that approach Him casually, that people may be that could come to church like once in a year or once. But Jesus is talking about to people that are self-righteous here. People that look like Christians, act like Christians, behave like, and even invoke the name of God, and they look like they're Christians, but they're not. So let's get the whole picture here of what He's talking about. Jesus says, many will say to Me on that day, what day? Of course, these people are going to find themselves in the great white throne judgment. Can you imagine? I did all this for you. Why am I here? They're questioning God. You see that? I did all this, but in the end, when they hear those words, they're questioning God. Did I do this for you and that for you? You know what? They're looking at it like, hey, I deserve to go there because I did all this for you. You know what they forgot? Calvary. They forgot Calvary. They took Calvary for granted. Listen, there are people that serve God without salvation, yes. But before we begin to work for the Lord, we need to look at Calvary. This shed blood, this sacrifice. Calvary has a meaning. You know one thing that hurts me so much? You see these people, some of them could care less about God, curse God all the time and use a crucifix. You see people with their crosses hanging on their necks? How sad that is. But let me tell you, we need to look at Calvary first. And then, listen to it, acknowledge that we are sinners. Amen. Amen. And in need of a Savior. Not just one, this one, two, three, I'm saved. No, no. First of all, I am a sinner. I am guilty before God. I ask Him to forgive me of my sin. You know, many people these days, they don't believe that we have to acknowledge that we are sinners. So, if we don't acknowledge that we are sinners, then what would Jesus died for? The day of judgment. So number four is this Jesus' warning of their false claims of ministry. You see this in verse 22. Of course, many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name have cast out devils? And in Thy name have done many wonderful works? Now, notice again, they claim, Lord, Lord, they're claiming, they did those things. These are the cries of people who are shocked over where they found themselves. They were astonished to be standing before the Lord and be judged by Him because He says to them, I never knew you. You don't belong to me. Then Jesus said that my sheep know me. They hear my voice and they know me. They recognize me and I know of them. They are not trying to justify themselves, but they are saying, Lord, listen, Lord. Lord, Lord, listen to me. Did I do this for you? They are trying to get approval from God. They are trying to remind Him of their goodness. And again, nobody goes to heaven by their goodness. And see, they're arguing with God and asking Him questions. Say, hey, I did all this for you. Don't you recognize it? And God says, no, I don't, because you don't know one of mine. This is a very sobering passage. And Jesus warns us here. You're not one of mine. I don't recognize your works. Listen, folks, our world is full of people that do great deeds. Some people give millions of dollars for all the good of humanity. They are out there. But look what God says about this. I'm paraphrasing. What accomplish a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Money doesn't get you heaven. Good deeds doesn't get you heaven. Your name being written somewhere doesn't get you heaven. And some church somewhere. Being baptized doesn't get you to heaven. See, we have to look at Calvary's cross and acknowledge our sin before God. So we see Jesus warning of their false claims of ministry. These people had a ministry. These people worked for God. They had good intentions. They were doing everything. But in the end, that was the wrong Jesus they were serving. Letter A, the claims of the lost. Paul speaks of those that were in the strife. Actually, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, some indeed preach Christ, even as of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bounds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Paul rejoices that Christ was being proclaimed regardless of the motive, but these people would not rejoice when they stood before God because they were preaching the wrong Jesus. Tell you folks, this morning, throughout this nation, throughout the world, there's many people that are preaching a false Jesus. I'm not saying all of them are. I'm saying many are. We have to take these words of Jesus and take them to context to our world today and say, Lord, if there are many people proclaiming a false Jesus, yes. He said many. He didn't say a few. He said many will that they ask me those things. You see, actually, Acts chapter 19 is an interesting passage here about exorcism, of course. There is the people here. They were taking evil spirits out of people. And these people, actually, go to Acts chapter 19. Well, I want you to see that for yourself. Look at verse 13 to verse 17 there. It is an interesting passage here. And look at verse 15, what it says. They were going and casting out devils out of people, and people that were possessed by evil or demonic beings. And here's a passage right here. It's talking about doing things in the name of God and not belonging to God. Look what it says right here. And look at the devil speaking, verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Even the demons know it. Those guys doing things in the name of God. And he says, hey, I know the devil, the demonic thing says, I know who Jesus is. I know Paul. But you, who are you? That's sobering, isn't it? You see, there are many people that do things in the name of Jesus, but doesn't mean that they belong to God. It doesn't mean that. See, it is dangerous business to get involved with demons, of course, when you do not know the Lord. But the fact that they had been doing this from place to place, these people, in the case that they had some success in casting out demons, but they came to when they met this one, he said, well, you don't have no power over me. Who are you? Let it be, you see, the plea of the lost. We see the plea of the lost. Here in Matthew 7:22, we find these people standing before the Lord trying to justify themselves because of all the wonderful things that they did in the name of Jesus. Yet the sad truth is that they were completely self-deceived. I hope we don't have anyone here this morning or even on social media watching us that are self-deceived. What Jesus do you worship? What Jesus do you believe? What Jesus? Is that the Jesus of the Bible? Or is that the Jesus that you just create in your own mind? Or the Jesus of some religion? I grew up believing in a Jesus of religion. I did. And when I realized that the Jesus of religion was not the religious of the Bible, I left that religion. I said, no, this is not the Jesus, the living Jesus of the Bible. And well, here they quote a lot of them. The Bible. I tell you what. And when they preach the Sermon on the Mount, they never preach the way the Bible describes. But let me tell you, there are people who have a Jesus in their heart and mind of religion. Others are self-deceived. They create their own Jesus. And that's why you hear people say, like I said in the beginning, my Jesus would never do that. My Jesus would never say that. You know why? They have a Jesus. And they worship that Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible. And know why they're deceived? One day, if they never repent of their sin and ask God to forgive them, they were going to hear those words. Depart from me. I never knew you. I'll tell you what. For many people these days, these words seem like useless, with no weight, with no value. But one day, depart from this world, those words will have weight. Because they're going to ask God, I did this for you. I did that for you. Don't you remember what I did for you? God is not impressed. God is not impressed. He said, apart from me, I never knew you. So the plea of the lost, their lives and their words were shown that they love and trusted themselves, not God. If their trust have been in God, they will appeal to Him, have been based on what Jesus had done for them instead of what they appealed in based on what they have done for God. Let me tell you this. We Christians, we don't work to get saved. We work because we are saved.
Amen.
If you see the difference, many people misunderstand the book of James. That's what James is saying there. He says, I'm working because I am saved. I serve Jesus because I am saved. The gratitude of my heart causes me to do all those things because what He has done for me. I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but this is me. When I look at Calvary's cross, when I remember who I was and what I used to do and what God has done for me, that's the whole motivation that I need to serve Him. I don't need nobody to pat me in the back. I don't need nobody to encourage me. You know what? I look at Calvary's cross and I say, Jesus, You deserve more than what I can do for you. I'll serve you for the rest of my days because the gratitude of my heart. Gratitude causes us to do something. Love causes us to do something. And that's what we move us forward. I'll tell you what, the Christian life is a life of love for God. If we don't have love for God, we won't do anything for Him. That's the way it is. If we don't have gratitude of heart and thankfulness, we don't do nothing for Him. That's what drives us to do the thing. Why in the world am I going out of my way to give somebody a little track? And they're like, you know why? Because I love Jesus and I love that person enough to tell them the truth. Because you know what? The truth is, the world doesn't want to admit that, but the truth is, if that person died without Jesus, that person is going to see himself in hell, not in heaven. And people talk about even some denominations, they don't even mention the name of hell because they don't want to offend anyone. Then the Jesus says the Bible is an offense. Because He talked about that quite a bit. Now, if Jesus says right here, man, He would say that to me, and He said, depart from me, where do you think those people are going? If these people are not going to heaven because they don't belong to Him, so where are they going? Oh, I know where they're going. They're going to get some wings. And they're going to get some harps. And like we see in some pictures and stuff, and they're going to play music in the clouds. Oh, folks, that is a lie. That is not true. No human being become an angel. No human being become an angel. Not even my grandmother that loved me very much. No, they don't come angels. God created his angels at one time to serve him. So the plea of the lost, they're going to plead to God. They're going to question. They're going to say, hey, I did this for you, that for you. Don't you remember God? Yeah, and God's going to say, oh, let's have a meeting here. Let's talk about it. Yeah, I think. Let me consider what you said. No, God's word is plain. Depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, that's supposed to be a Jesus of love? That's not love. You know, people just say, no, my Jesus, he loves everything. He loves everything about love. Seem harsh, those words, isn't it? Depart from me, I never knew you. You know why? In this lifetime, if you live 20, if you live 100, if you live 120, if you live 150 years, you have that span of time to learn to love Jesus and to glorify his name and to live for him with the life that he gives you. And if we don't do it, guess you failed. We did.
Amen.
We did. And for us Christians, we need to check ourselves when we serve God. When you serve in our local church, am I doing this for Jesus? Or am I doing this to please people? Jesus' warning, number 5, Jesus' warning of the coming judgment. Look at verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, he that work iniquity. So folks, today people say that everything is okay, and there's no big deal until we get it. It's like sickness. Everything is okay. We talk about other people until you get it yourself. Cancer is ugly, isn't it? Oh, you know, all these statistics, all these things. We talk about these things. Hey, if I have kids, I would never get those therapies and chemo and radiation. Forget it. I would never take that. Then you go to the doctor and they say to you, you have cancer. Now the song sings differently. Now you are the one. What are you going to do? You see, that's what's coming right here. He says, you work iniquity. Depart from me. Now is now. I heard what God says, but well, take it or leave it. You know, I'm going to live my own life. Guess what? God says, now is you. You are the one that I'm talking with. See, they are going to see the mistake that they have made in this lifetime and the price they might have to go and to pay for this stubbornness and for the rebellious against the free gift of God. Listen, there's no one in this world to have an excuse to say, I never heard. Nobody ever give me the clear presentation of the gospel. Let me tell you this. Look up and look at God's creation because they declare the glory of God. This is not a mistake, folks. This is not where bang and it came to happen. No, if you look around, if you look up at the skies, the oceans, the birds, the trees, it's God's creation. So if nobody gives a presentation of the God, I tell you what, no matter where you are in the world, you can look up and say, there is a great creator, and I want to know him. I tell you why, somebody will come to you. See, we live in and we self-deceived, and we begin to believe the ideas of man. I tell you what, if this world is 200-300 million years, where's the proof? You tell me. I want to know. If this thing comes out of a nothing, where nothing came from?
Yep.
It's logical, isn't it? Listen, I went to public school. I went to school. If this whole thing bang and came to be, where the bang came from? Where nothing came from? And we have to just sit down and think for a second. Because it makes no sense. And when things make no sense, you come to a point you have no common sense. Brother Rosario knows that better than I do. I love the way he says it. But I tell you what, it is. So we have to understand where all this thing came from. So we can look up and say, there is a great creator and I need him. So Jesus warns them about the coming judgment. Look what he says, verse 23. I never knew you. They did not know Jesus and Jesus did not know them. Jesus knew about them and they knew, and if they knew... about Jesus, they will have an intimate relationship with Him. What amazes me is that there are so many people in this world that don't care a bit about Jesus at all, neither His word or His house. But when the day comes, they are going to question God about the goodness that they have done. There are people in this world that don't care about God, don't care about God's people, don't care about God's church, don't care about His word. But in the end, they're going to question God. Hey, I did this for you. I did that for you. I did this for you. Don't you remember God? Yeah, He knows everything. He said, what He knows about tomorrow, He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. Because God is all-knowing. But He would say to you that day, depart from me, I never knew you. So folks, it does not matter how much head knowledge you have about God. If you are not adopted into His kingdom, you're not one of His children. You can have all the knowledge in this world. But let me put it this way. Many people even make movies about God, about stories in the Bible. Anybody can read the Bible. But let me tell you this way. The Bible speaks different when you know the author. You follow that? The Bible speaks different to us when we know the author. When you don't know the author, it's just another book. Let me give you an example. Let's say I'm in Florida and my wife is here in Rhode Island. She writes me a letter. The letter goes to Donna's house. Donna's going to read it and goes like, well, that letter's not for me. You follow that? Belongs to somebody else. But if the letter comes directly to me, when I open up, I know the author. That's the problem of our world. A lot of people read the Bible, but they don't know the author.
Right.
They don't have a relationship with Him. They don't know who He is. Oh, they can know things about God, yeah. But they don't have a close relationship with Him. They don't know Him. Wonder why? And when they die, God says, depart from me, I never knew you. Right now it's okay. How many people don't care about it? Like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. But you know what? It will come a day, they will care.
Right.
And it's too late. And it was too late. My last point is the assuring words of assurance of salvation. Folks, we are not playing church here. We're not entertaining people here. This is a serious matter that we are talking about here this morning. This is what life is all about. Listen, folks. The American dream. Have a good job. Money in the bank. Right? Have a yacht, if you can. Or a boat. Have a nice car. You know, not work at all. I mean, the American dream. Everybody strives for the American dream. If you can live the American dream, good for you. But I tell you what. The greatest dream and the greatest assurance is to know that when I depart from this world, I'm going to heaven. A place where God dwells. Where God is going to say to me, welcome home, you good and faithful servant. Folks, I live 55 years. Many people have departed from this world. Family members, friends, close friends. I don't know where they went. Some of them testify they were Christians. I will find out when I get to heaven. But the assuring words of salvation. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Go over there, and we're going to finish very quick. For 2 Corinthians 13:5. Look what it says. Look what Paul says right here to all of us as Christians. Are you ready? Here's the word. I'll let you get this so you can see it. Very sobering words. Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove you own selves. Know ye not your own selves, but how that Jesus is in you, except he be, what? Reprobates. You follow that? Is that sobering? It goes hand in hand in what Jesus is saying here. People can sit in churches, carry a Bible, hear the word of God, even read the Bible and die and go to hell. He said, well, that's really, I'm telling you folks, examine yourself. He's challenging all of us here. Examine yourself if you are in their faith or not. if you belong to God or not. Why am I doing what am I doing? Do I really believe that Jesus is God? Do I really believe that He went to Calvary's cross and died for my sin? Do I really believe that if I confess my sins to Him, that I will be saved, that I will get saved and go to heaven when I die? Do I believe that? Or I'm just going through the motions and just feel good about going to a nice place where I can sit down and have people with, you know, that speak nice, they don't curse, they don't swear, all these things. I tell you what, there will be many surprises. Because Jesus says many. Many, not few, but many. Listen, folks, this thing about salvation is a serious thing. And remember, Jesus is talking here to religious folks here. People that were exposed to the Word of God. Pharisees, Sadducees, they were there. They were listening to this great sermon, and Jesus said, you be careful. Not by mistake that Jesus tries to warn them and also remind them. You even said to them, your father, the devil, is a liar. We don't want to say this to people today. But the truth is, we have to look at God's word and see what God says. So I conclude with this. This is my call to you today. Examine yourselves and see if you are in the faith. Listen, I look at you. You all look nice. Many of you smiling. You can tell me I'm a Christian. I have to believe your word. But ultimately, you know and God knows. Because he says, I know my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they know me. Are you one of God's sheep? If you were to die right now, this very moment, are you 100% sure that you will go to heaven? Not a make-believe place, a real place. That's a question you have to ask yourself. That's examining yourself. Am I saved? Do I believe in what God did to be true? Do I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that He's alive forevermore? Do I believe that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this.